All right, so I'm going to get to PROMESA eventually, I promise. I just wanted to talk a bit about Chapter 9 and what it looks like. So, you know, I learned from Professor Westbrook many years ago that Chapter 11 is actually a really wonderful thing and that it has managed to find a balance between debtors and creditors. And I typically represent creditors. I sometimes think the balance is skewed in favor of the debtor. I'm sure other people disagree and think it's skewed in favor of basically secured banks, which I also agree with. But in general, there's balancing, and everybody has some power. That power in Chapter 9, I hate to say it, it doesn't exist the way it should. This starts both from the concept of federalism and a lot of the provisions of Chapter 9 that were implemented in order to make sure that the 10th Amendment wasn't violated. And some of it's created by the very structure of the municipalities itself. And if anybody wants to talk about this, I would also say some of this is created by the fact that bankruptcy judges are interpreting Chapter 9 very aggressively towards creditors or financial creditors. But in general, let me talk about some of the things that aren't there that you're used to seeing. So all of us in Chapter 11 go into the first day, and you see a slew of first day motions. And if you're debtor's counsel, you're busy preparing those and pulling all-nighters. Those don't exist in a Chapter 9 because a municipal debtor can do what it wants. It can use, sell property, pay expenses, not pay expenses. It pretty much has free rein over the day-to-day operations. And if you have a complaint about the way it's being managed, there is very little you can do until it gets time to plan confirmation time. There's no ability to complain about the expenses. There's no ability to appoint a trustee. And then when it gets to plan confirmation time, the debtor has the sole right to file the restructuring plan. And the only real remedy, I would say, for creditors here is to have the case dismissed, which just isn't going to happen. You can't go in, file your own restructuring plan. And then when you get to the restructuring plan itself, because there's no ability to liquidate a municipality, there's no concept of liquidation value to really measure against for the best interest tests. There's no equity class to examine for the absolute priority rule. And since I'm a creditor's lawyer, I would argue that a municipality actually does have equity, which are the citizens that live there that continue to benefit from the municipality. That isn't recognized in bankruptcy in Chapter 9. And I would say one of the biggest problems is that politics still continue to play a substantial role in Chapter 9 because elected officials are in charge. They're making the decisions. And it makes operational restructuring and pension reform extraordinarily difficult, even for people who I think are trying to do the right thing. So with that, now I'm finally on PROMESA. So I'm going to give a bit of a wind-up about PROMESA because I was there when it was created. We were actually, my law firm and I, were in the room when it happened, or where it happened. And I don't know how the bankruptcy code was drafted or how prior amendments, like the 2005 amendments, were drafted, but at least what we saw in PROMESA is it was a very messy sausage-making factory. There were no academics or professors involved. Really how it worked was there were two law firms that represented Puerto Rico. One represented wealthy Puerto Rico families, and another one, and they were behind the scenes. Nobody really ever saw them, but drafts came from that firm of PROMESA. And then one was Cleary Gottlieb, and they were obviously hired and paid by Puerto Rico. So those two law firms, together with a third lawyer, a gentleman by the name of Mark Kaufman, I don't know if anybody here knows him, he's now since retired, he was unpaid and worked pro bono, and I think he fairly tried to call balls and strikes as people were debating what should be in PROMESA. But it was really the lawyers that would draft things, and then the creditors' lawyers would see them, and we would comment on them. And all of this ran through Secretary Ryan's staffers, and it was a really interesting process. So sometimes we got some of what we asked for, most of the time we got really odd versions of what we asked for, or we didn't get it. And we learned over the, if you're ever involved in the legislative making process like this, what we learned is sometimes it's just better not to ask for things, because when you turn in a specific request, it actually comes back the opposite of what you asked for, and you wish you had never asked for it in the first place. So when we started on PROMESA, what we thought made the most sense from a creditor's perspective was knowing how skewed Chapter 9 is towards debtors, and knowing that there was, you know, I don't believe that there's a true balancing anymore.